Welcome to episode 3 of the 1987 WNBC radio documentary, The New York Knicks, Those Championship Seasons. I'm Bud Mishkin. This is a 9-episode series that I originally wrote and produced and created in 1987, voiced by my then WNBC radio colleague Gary Bridges, about one of the most beloved teams in American sports history, the New York Knicks of the late 60s and early 70s. We've arrived at a wonderful time in New York sports. 1969, the Jets beat the Baltimore Colts in the Super Bowl. The Mets beat the Baltimore Orioles in the World Series. The Rangers were resurgent, and the Knicks pursued their first NBA title in dramatic fashion. That is the subject of Episode 3 of The New York Knicks, Those Championship Seasons.
The long-awaited NBA title came to the Knicks in May of 1970, but the drive to the championship really began a year before. Bill Bradley.
I think we felt something happened when we took Boston to in the playoffs in 1969. Part of us felt that we could have beaten Boston that year, but we lost. And what we knew that had come together was a group of players who played well together.
Willis Reed.
You know, Frazier being hurt really made it impossible for us to win. It was a very close game as it was. And DeBusschere said in the locker room to the guys, he said, you know, next year we're going to win. It's ours, you know.
Dave DeBusschere.
I mean, there was no question in my mind that we were the best basketball team assembled at that time. And I think every player believed it. Every player believed it. So it was one of those summers where you couldn't wait to get back to start over again. It was one of those wonderful feelings.
The Knicks played with a purpose from the first game of the season, and fans swelled the movement as momentum increased. In October and November, the team drove through 17 straight opponents to tie an NBA single-season record. In New York, fans gathered around their TVs while the Knicks tried for 18 straight against the Cincinnati Royals at a neutral site in Cleveland. Dave DeBusschere.
We were lousy. We played that game, and it was a record game, and we came out. And I don't know how you describe it in sports, but it's one of those flat days. And it shouldn't have been. It should have been the seventh game of the playoffs.
The Knicks were down by 5 with 16 seconds to go. Willis Reed hit 2 foul shots, but Cincinnati had the ball.
And then all of a sudden, it was like magical. All I remember was Cousy putting himself in the game.
Walt Frazier.
I can remember that like yesterday.
New York would like to have this ball looped in for the chance at the steal.
Cousy inserted himself into the game at that point. And he made all the bad passes that end up blowing the game.
And it's intercepted! Put in by Dave DeBusschere, 105 to 104. 10 seconds to go. Intercepted by Frazier. Frazier shoots. A follow. There's a whistle on the play as Frazier went up with 2 seconds to go.
I shot the ball from the air, and I got fouled. And I remember saying, God, why didn't that ball go in? Because at this point, I had to go to the free throw line with, I don't know, 1 second left in the game, and we were behind by 1 point.
With 2 seconds to go, Van Arsdale committed the foul. The Knicks trail by 1 point, 105 to 104. He has 3 chances to make 2. Fans, if this is pulled out, it will be one of the miracles of basketball.
So I was saying to myself, just make the first one, you know, then you can relax. And of course, they called timeout and gave me time to think about it.
Hold on. Knicks trail, 2 seconds to go. They trail by 1 point. It's tied. 105 to 105 with 2 seconds to go. Walt Frazier. Cincinnati will call timeout most probably to get the ball at midcourt. He makes it. The Knicks go in front. They throw in. Reed intercepts. Reed shoots. The ball game. Hold it. We have no official. It's over. All over. The Knicks win 106 to 105. What a game. What a game. Folks, I've never seen anything like it. One of the most fantastic, gutsy finishes I've ever seen. The Knicks have set a new NBA record with their 18th win in a row. What a ball game. Sensational.
That night we were excitable.
Red Holtzman.
From experience, you know that the game is really never over in the NBA. That's what makes the game so great. You got to gamble a little bit in that situation, which we did, and put the pressure on, had third man come up and for interceptions, and these things worked. And we scored quickly, and they got a little rattled, and these are the things that happened.
For Times writer Phil Berger, that night showed a new Knick team on the rise, and in Bob Cousy, an NBA legend on the decline.
Yeah, I can remember afterwards the kind of down expression on his face as he got into the elevator at the hotel I was staying at. And he had been a hero of mine as a kid growing up. It's sort of like, now I cover boxing, it's sort of like seeing the fighter at the end of his career who stayed a little too long.
By the end of December that year, Knicks fans had come to expect the team to find a way. Christmas night at the Garden, facing the Pistons, they were down by one with 1 second left.
The inbounds pass will come from center court as the Knicks and Pistons line up. Frazier will throw it in.
Willis Reed.
Barnett cut to the basket, and then he came back up the lane and back-picked Walt Bellamy, and the pass was a perfect zone pass from Frazier from out of bounds.
I remember Frazier saying afterwards that that's a play that doesn't ever work in practice.
That play never worked in practice.
And there's a good reason for that. It's the element of surprise. How do you practice a play like that if the defensive player knows that someone's cutting for the basket on a lead pass?
I would throw the ball over the basket, under the basket, and that Christmas night I made a perfect pass. We won the game.
It was a very exciting play. I remember my voice cracked. I was so surprised when I called the play.
Now Frazier takes the ball. He looks, still looking, throws for the basket to Reed. Layup is good! The Knicks win it! The Knicks win it! Willis Reed hitting the layup! And the Garden is pure hysteria! Unbelievable finish!
That may have been the first dramatic play of a very dramatic season.
I think one of the significant things about our team was that we were a team that somehow, some way, always believed that we were going to win.
The Knicks romped to the divisional title with a 60-22 record, fought a war with the Baltimore Bullets winning in seven, and took 4 out of 5 from the Milwaukee Bucks for the right to face the L.A. Lakers in the finals. Those two teams split the opening pair at the Garden. Even through two, the Knicks wanted Game 3 in L.A. With the clock running down, the game was tied. Bob Wolfe called that game on TV.
10 seconds now showing on the clock. 8 seconds left to go on the clock. 7, 6, 5. DeBusschere shoots. Hit!
The Knicks had again found a way, but the game wasn't over.
4 seconds left, Chamberlain was under the basket, and he ran off the court and was going in the locker room. They threw the ball to West. Chamberlain didn't even know he scored because they brought him back out on the floor. He didn't even know they scored. And when West took those two dribbles and hit the long shot, you know, geez.
With 3 seconds to go, 2 seconds, 1 second, West throws it up. He makes it. West threw it up and makes it. Over half court. The ball game is tied. Jerry West made it from the other side of the midcourt stripe.
Most teams in that situation you'd have bet anything we would lose in the overtime. And we killed them in the overtime.
The Lakers won Game 4, and the series was tied again. The action went back to New York for Game 5.
So the Knicks take over. Frazier down court to Bradley. Top of the key to Reedy's triple team. Falls down. We got a whistle on the play. And Willis is hurt.
I want to make a drive on Chamberlain to the basket, and I pushed off on the right leg, and as I pushed off and made the move, and the leg gave away. I pulled some muscles in the hip area, and I went down, and I thought I was in a lot of pain when it happened, and I laid there for a while, and eventually when Danny Whelan came out, and I got up and felt, as I started to get up, I thought I could, wasn't hurt as bad as I was, but originally I really thought this was a heck of a way to end the season.
And the crowd is very quiet in response to an announcement. Willis Reed will not see any more action tonight. Willis Reed is out, and the Lakers now lead at 51-35. Nothing has gone right for the Knicks.
Bill Bradley.
The feeling was we'd lost our leader. We'd lost the main center of our team when Willis fell, that we were at a critical moment.
Dick Barnett.
No one was despondent. Everyone was concerned, of course, with Willis's condition. But we were determined. We knew what we had there. And if everyone played up to their capability, we were capable of beating any particular team on a particular night.
Walt Frazier's halftime view was more pessimistic.
We thought it was over, of course. And it's difficult to rally a team when you lose your main player like that, and especially against the Lakers. And so the mood in the locker room was dejection. The guys were wondering how we would pull it out or if we would pull it out.
Bill Bradley.
This was the time when we needed to maximize each of our individual skills and in the process maximize the strength of the team. And I think that's what happened in the course of the locker room discussion. I made some suggestions about how we could do that. The other players made their suggestions, and we came out, and I think that we had something new to go to.
Pass stolen by Frazier. He drives inside. Barnett layup is good. On the left side, it goes to DeBuscher. One-hander from 20. Good. Rebound, Frazier. Short jump is good. Barnett drives right to DeBuscher in the corner. One-hander over Wilt is good.
Red Holtzman.
We try to improvise. We try to have other people play the big fellas, and you know, sometimes when the teams are handicapped, they do more.
Next down by 8, West across the midcourt, loses to Frazier, drives ahead of the field, down the line, layup is good. It's stolen by Frazier, out of the backcourt, across the midcourt line with Russell on the left, down the lane with the floater, that is good.
The Lakers didn't bury us like they should have, because like I say, we were just holding on by our fingernails. If they had come out and really socked it to us, we would have folded. They didn't do that. They kept us hanging in the game, and as we went on, we gained confidence.
Dave DeBuscher.
Did I think we have a shot? Yes. Did I think it was a long shot? Yes. It was a remarkable game.
Inside Stallworth, short jump, hits the rim and bounce through. And the Knicks trail by 4, 84-80. Stallworth, one-hander from the side. Good. A fast break for the Knicks. Russell across the midcourt line, top of the key. Cross-court by it from 20. He jumps. Yes. Trail by 186-85 with 8:20 remaining in the game, and the Lakers go for time. And now the Knicks have a chance to tie. They're down by 2. The inbounds pass to Frazier. Frazier along the left sideline, holds it high over the head, spins away, now hands to Russell. Cassie drives left, picked up by Chamberlain in the corner, outside Bradley, one-hander from 20. Yes! We're tied at 87.
The guy I thought that made the biggest difference in that game was Dave Stallworth. I remember Dave Stallworth just sort of picking the whole team up.
There was one basket that I remember. It was Stallworth driving the baseline for a reverse beating Chamberlain, and the place exploded.
A minute and 35 in the game. Right side, Stallworth. He sets, now drives on Chamberlain, past the basket. Back in, it's good! A spectacular shot by Stallworth!
That was the basket of Dave Stallworth's life.
Bill Bradley.
He took it to Wilt and managed to score, and it was that was kind of the symbol of that whole offense.
Barnett will inbound, gives to DeBuscher along the left sideline, played by Garrett and Chamberlain. Back outside it goes to Barnett, and he is hemmed in, flips it ahead now to Russell. He drives in the corner, DeBuscher, one-hander from 20, hits the rim, bounce off, rebound is battered, saved by Erickson, but his saving pass goes to Frazier, and there is a break for the Knicks with 30 seconds remaining. Frazier to Bradley, back to Frazier at center court, puts it on the floor, flips it ahead out of Russell. Cassie outside to DeBuscher in the corner of the board at 20 seconds remaining. Back to DeBuscher. Standing ovation from the capacity crowd at the Garden. DeBuscher drives. Cross-court Frazier in the corner. DeBuscher turns and one hands it short. Rebound Garrett. He fires down court. Intercepted by Frazier with 8 seconds. Frazier to the forecourt. Along the left sideline. Stops. Jumps. Yes! With 2 seconds to go. The Knicks lead by 7. Lakers try to come out of the backcourt. They will not be able to, as the crowd races out of the court.
The feeling of the building shaking as the people were pounding their feet rhythmically on the floor, and the building felt like it was vibrating. It was a hell of a night.
Phil Berger's thoughts were on the mind of every Knick fan that night. But without Willis Reed, the Knicks were powerless against Wilt Chamberlain and the Lakers in Game 6. Back at the Garden, it was down to one game. And one question was on everyone's mind.
In the locker room, everyone kept saying about, is Reed going to play? You know, somebody finally said, hey, man, we got to play anyway if he doesn't. So don't worry about that. You know, just get yourself ready.
Borgia came to me and said, what are you going to do? You think you can play? He said, if you can give us 20 minutes tonight, we're going to win this particular game. So he said, it's ours. We're going to win the championship.
He could barely walk. And I remember talking to him. I said, Cap, come out and, give us a few minutes. Do whatever you have to do. I said, let us go from there.
Walt Frazier.
So when we left the locker room, Willis was not with us, and we assumed at that point that he would not play in the game.
If there's any way heavily possible, I was going to go out there. I mean, I had to go out there because I'd never wanted to be said that I passed up an opportunity to play for a championship because you never knew if you would ever get back there again.
Writer Phil Berger.
First, Kazzy came onto the floor, and people thought it was Reed, so there was a big ovation, and then they said, nope, whoops, wrong guy. Then Reed came on, and there was the real ovation.
John Condon.
When he did walk out on that floor, the sound, I don't think I've ever heard or experienced anything like that before. And the sound that a world heavyweight title fight is really something to hear. But the night that Reed walked out onto that court, that sound was the greatest sound I've ever heard in my life.
The garden erupted and everybody standing and cheering. And they said, like, okay, everything's all right. The captain is here. And I said, boy, this is a heck of a predicament to be in. I can't play this guy on two good legs and I'm trying to play him on one, you know. But and when I walked down the floor, the Lakers, they stopped. And they turned and looked.
Dave DeBuscher.
But I remember looking down the other end of the court and looking at West, Baylor, Chamberlain, etc., that were watching the entranceway. And when they saw Willis come out, it was like, oh. It was like their chins dropped.
Lakers forward Happy Hairston.
He waited. He picked his time, you know, like a boxer who emerges out of the shadows late in the game. The crowd responded. The team responded. We weren't that surprised. I think the fans thought we were, but we were not. There was no doubt in our minds that we knew that Willis was going to attempt to try to come out and play.
And I was amazed that they would stand around and watch a guy that like that, you know, just disrupted what they were doing. And I think that was the psych started right there when he came onto the court. He psyched them out.
And I got the basketball, and I wanted to make sure the first shot that I make it, you know, and I got the ball very gingerly. I jumped just a little bit, saw jumper, and I made the shot, and the crowd went wild, and the next one I made, the next one.
Steve Albert came home from school in Ohio to see Game 7.
Place went crazy, and I remember Marv was doing play-by-play. This had to be a first. He was going yes when Willis was scoring practice shots.
And then we got into the game, and obviously I think the craziest thing that ever happened was, and I don't know, most people think it was by design, that first two shots that the basket was taken by me. It just so happened I was in the right place and the ball was passed to me and Chamberlain was back in the lane and I made both of those jump shots.
Here's the tap, controlled by the Lakers. Erickson cross court to Garrett. Garrett along the left sideline of the corner, it goes to Baylor. Moves left side of the circle, top of the key, off the screen, jump short, rebounded by Bradley. New York ball down court to Frazier. Got it by West, left side of the lane, outside Reed, jumps from 20. Yes! Barnett to Reed on the forecourt, right side from 20, jumps, yes! Willis has hit on his first two.
He hit those first two jumpers, and it seemed, of course people said at the time, it's over. But, you know, how could a game be over in the first quarter, particularly in the NBA? But it was one of those nights, he was so inspirational, and they just picked it up from there. They were on fire, they couldn't miss, and the Lakers were awful.
The game was over. I mean, it was just, you know, this is this magical moment. The place was bedlam.
Riding on the inspiration of Willis Reed's appearance, the Knicks stormed the Lakers.
And the Lakers come out of the backcourt, and the Knicks continue to press. Reed all over West as he moves it across the midcourt line. Reed really giving him problems as West backs into the foul line. Now turns, does not have the shot. Outside guard, jumper from 25, no good. And the rebound is grabbed by DeBuscher. Ahead it goes to Reed. Down court, Frazier on the drive. He pulls up for the jumper that rims the basket. Rebound is batted around. It's loose, taken by Garrett of the Lakers. He bullets one down court that is intercepted by DeBuscher. Fast break for the next. DeBuscher on the drive. Leads Reed and driving shot is good. Incredible defense by the Knicks. They are doing it all as Dick Barnett reports back in, replacing Walt Frazier, and Frazier gets a standing ovation. Reed inbounds to Barnett. Barnett to the top of the key. Veers right. Cross court Stallworth to the corner. Jumps from 20 and hits. That is the end of the first half. A devastating first half by the New York Knicks with the score. The Knicks 69 and the Lakers 42. Frazier at center court, midway between the sidelines against West with 8 seconds. Now he veers left, left side of the circle. Left sideline, 5 seconds. Outside now to Barnett. He drives to the foul line. He jumps, hits. As the buzzer sounds, and that is the end of quarter number three. Seconds to the next first world championship. Bradley eats up the clock along the right sideline with a dribbling exhibition against Prestbad. Bradley drives right side of the circle. He jumps, hits the back of the rim, bounce left, rebound, tipped up, no good. Rebound to Buescher. Cross court Barnett. 30 seconds. Outside Bradley. Cross court to Buescher. Outside Frazier. We have 25 seconds to the championship. Outside Bradley looks at the clock. Center court Frazier as the crowd on its feet roaring. Frazier top of the key. Outside to Buescher. In the corner of Frazier. He drives to Barnett for a jump. Yes! With 12 seconds remaining. 113-97. Here come the Lakers out of the backcourt. The Knick bench is up on its feet, jumping as West is fouled on the forecourt. Fred Holzman has to hold back some of his players. The Knicks are hugging each other on the bench. Confetti from the mezzanine area here at Madison Square Garden as West gets set to take his foul shots. 8 seconds remaining in the ballgame. It is Bedlam here at Madison Square Garden. The first by West is good. Here's the second. It is good. 113-99. The Knicks inbound to Barnett in the backcourt. Cross court to Buescher. 5 seconds. The Buescher holds the ball. 3 seconds. The Buescher holds the ball. 2 seconds. The Buescher holds the ball. That is it. The New York Knickerbockers have won the 1969-70 World Championship of Basketball. They are being mobbed as they head to the dressing room. The New York Knicks are the world champions.
Willis Reed's injury and the storybook finish make the 1970 championship a memory never to be topped. But there's almost as good a story in the individuals that made up the Knicks. That story's next.
Who were these players and the coach who found their way into the hearts of millions of New Yorkers and never left? A cohesive unit on the court and a compelling cast of characters off it. That's the story next time on Episode 4 of the New York Knicks, those championship seasons. Thanks for listening. I'm Bud Mishkin.